driving. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LP FM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, 2020. And if it's not where you're listening, then you're listening to a rebroadcast or a podcast and should not try to call in. I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host with us, Wombat on the phone. Say hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. I'm stuck in my house. What can I do? It's been day 48, and I'm still here.
I think everybody in America can say that.
And Canada.
Yeah, oh, and Canada and the rest of the world.
Wow.
Our guests today are Chad the Impaler, Boudreaux, and Dread Pirate Higgs. Say hello, y'all.
Ahoy there.
Hello, you? Y'all.
Hey, y'all.
And Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. If you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, or East Tennessee for that matter, why are you just not? There are several atheist, freethinking, and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. And did you know that there's been an atheist call-in TV show broadcasting here in Knoxville, and has been for over 10 years? Did you know that, Wombat?
Oh, man, you know about that, too? I love it. The guy is so funny. He plays video games on his YouTube channel, and it's basically just this cool dude from Gothenburg. I think he goes by PewDiePie, and he plays, like, the newest console games, and he makes, like, witty comments the whole time. It's really fun. You should check it out.
You got one thing right out of all of that. It is a YouTube channel now. It used to broadcast live on the air and community access TV, but it's gone streaming now. It's exclusively on YouTube. It's the channel is called Freethinkers United, and check it out. It's Freethinkers United of Knoxville, and every Wednesday evening they go live, and you can also go, of course, to their channel and watch the videos from every Wednesday night, Wednesday 7. Our topic tonight is cabin fever.
I think we're all feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all just stuck inside. We go out occasionally, but that just as individuals, maybe to walk the dog or check the mail.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Before the whole quarantine was put into effect, or at least socially put into effect, I felt like I was largely invincible because I wasn't sick at all, and I was like asymptomatic is what they would say. So I would be like outside practicing like my volleyball serves to like a court full of nobody, and I would feel the peering from people's windows looking at me like, what are you doing right now? Right, and I'm like, right. Come on, guys. But now I feel like I have like a better perspective after talking to some people about like, you know, what's really going on and what's at stake, and we can talk about that on the show. But until then, what is the nature of being home, maybe alone, maybe not, and just having all the free time in the world and no allowance to go outside? Let's talk about that. I think that'd be kind of interesting. And who better to carry into the topic of cabin fever than the Dread Pirate himself?
Well, you know, I still do stuff outdoors. I still, if I get a call from a client, I will go. You know, I just ask if they're sick. I keep my social distance, fingertip to fingertip, and you know, just practice good social distancing. I don't isolate. So that's maybe different than what the requirement is in the United States right now.
Yeah, maybe that might be helpful. What are the requirements in Canada right now?
Like I said, fingertip to fingertip distance. I know my wife, she's a manager there for, you know, local grocery store. So they're setting up, you know, plastic, you know, shield barriers,
wow.
Yeah, barriers for clients.
Wow, wow, wow.
You know, again, you know, I still go out. I don't shake hands with anyone right now. Okay. They just yesterday or the day before, they shut the restaurants down. To just take out and delivery, but you know, there's businesses that are still open, and you know, people still trying to manage a relatively normal existence in the face of this.
Yeah. What gets me is that the churches, many of the churches are ignoring it, thinking that God, Jesus, or whatever will protect them, and they get together and they're sharing and, you know, spreading this disease.
Yeah.
I think Michigan's governor allows exemptions for churches to have outings bigger than 50 people. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
Yeah. And they've shut down these healing places, which is kind of oxymoronic.
Yeah.
But at least the leadership has had some kind of secular view on it and saying, you know, we don't need to do this with the spread going on, and we shouldn't rely on the religion or the healing property, the claimed healing properties of the religion to take care of it, because it ain't gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems
it's crazy.
There's like two tiers of tactics to resolve this issue that we're in right now. And there are good tactics, and then there's bad tactics. And it seems like the good tactics are what Gary's practicing, like the social distancing, reducing the amount of time that you can potentially infect someone else and get infected yourself. That's great. And the plastic barrier in a grocery aisle, that's a pretty good idea. I wonder why those weren't there to begin with, all things considered. But then also, like, you have a modified handshake, maybe, like, you don't shake hands the way how we normally do. Maybe it's like a virtual fist bump. Maybe it's an elbow tap. Things you should be happy and thankful for that Black people invented, like, you know, 10 years prior, which is why the virus is in Africa. Yeah, exactly. Wakanda forever. Like, there's none of that, but I bet you it will be. But anyway, there's also bad tactics, and that's probably something to go over too. Just the bulking confidence that you weren't ever going to get infected, and then putting yourself in public environments where there's crowds of people, young kids, old people, who are more susceptible to not being able to, you know, have an immune system that's capable of fixing themselves if they do get sick. And those are the people that we're trying to protect with these good tactics. Likewise, I've seen a lot of people not praying as much, but instead hanging on to really bad science that's fueled by feelings, like putting on face masks or wearing nitrile gloves that are non-sterile in public spaces. Have you guys seen that?
If I may share, I went down yesterday to buy a box of wine, and the teller at the liquor store had those gloves on, the blue ones. And he took the paper money from my hand, put it in the drawer, but I still owed him $3.30. So I reached in my pocket, pulled up a mitt full of change.
Yeah.
And he says, okay, well, you just have to put that down on the counter. That's the new practice, right?
Okay.
So I took out $3.30 and I put it on the counter. He then scooped the money into his palm and then threw it in the drawer. And I thought, do you have any sense of just how crazy what you just did is?
Right. Yeah. And then, like, afterwards, he's going to scratch his face afterwards.
Right. And it, what kind of comfort? Yeah. It just didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, I went to Food City the other day, and they wouldn't take my card, my ID when I presented it. They said, just hold it.
Wait a second. I
held it.
They card you? I'm sorry, Larry. I don't want to make you sound like you're not a spring chicken, but are you still being carded
sure. Well, the thing about it is, it's one of these Food City cards. They take it, they scan it, they give it back to you.
Sure.
But now the procedure is that you have to hold it, and they pick up the hand scanner and scan it, which is cool.
Okay.
But she proceeded to pick up everything that I put on the tray, and hand scan that, which I just got through putting in, touching myself.
Yeah.
No, it's just crazy.
Chad, have you seen people wearing like personal protective equipment in the wrong environment under the impression that it'll protect them?
Oh yeah, yeah. I see it all over the place. I do some interesting. Well, again, I said this last time. I say things are interesting when I leave that up to everyone else. I probably shouldn't say that, but I see some people doing some strange things that I think are strange, and wearing paper face masks what? That they would wear to paint their, you know, house or something like that. I even saw someone with a bandana on at a grocery store at Kroger yesterday. He looked like he was trying to rob the protest.
Yeah.
I've got a photo. I'll post it on the chat.
This is no joke. The time where you can walk into like a pawn shop with a balaclava and not be the weirdest person in the room right now.
Right. Yeah. So I've seen a lot of that. And even where I work there, we do IT work, and no one really talks about this much. And I don't want to be one of those people that is going to put something like, hey, I'm a nurse. We're saving the world. Look at me.
Right.
I need more attention.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not doing that, but I guess I'm about to here. I do IT work, so we can't stop working. We're the ones that are keeping this infrastructure going.
Exactly.
And we're doing a lot of work right now while schools are out, too. Since there are no students in the schools, it's a great time for us to go into these closets where there's no one. I mean, most of us work alone. If we don't work with someone, with a group of people, well, we hardly ever work with groups of people. It's usually one or two other people. You have an IT contact at each customer site. So we are very capable of being alone. So that's kind of how we're working. And we're kind of trying to help people. But I am seeing people using both nitrile gloves and not just nitrile gloves, like regular winter gloves while they're working. It makes it difficult. I understand why you would wear a glove over not wearing a glove. But I don't know. I think it's comfort. I think people are just trying to be comforted.
I think there's a distinction between doing it in premise versus practice. The premise is I'm doing this so I don't contaminate myself. But in practice, you're contaminating your environment and yourself. It's a word. Yeah. So I can, if you are wearing a nitrile glove with the idea that this is going to protect me from germs and stuff like that, what you're really doing is increasing your chances of cross-contamination. And to put this in a really nice story, imagine going into the bathroom with nitrile gloves, doing your business, going out, and then making yourself a sandwich. Like, no one would want to do that. Like, they would say, no, you're cross-contaminating all the germs that you had from the bathroom over to this food that you're eating, and then eating the food, consuming, and contaminating yourself. That's functionally the same thing that's going on when you have these gloves on, because, one, if I touch a steering wheel in my car, then go into the grocery store and then touch a bunch of groceries and then walk out and put the groceries in, come back home. I'm now traveling with all those germs with me from my car to the groceries and then spreading them around. Whereas if I just wash my hands in between each interval, I am resetting my contamination clock in a sense.
Yeah, makes sense.
And it makes
I see people doing that at sandwich shops a lot. Yeah. When they're making sandwiches, and then they'll take your money. And thank goodness these days there's not much cash being exchanged. But they're still pounding away on a register of some sort.
Right.
And then they go right back to making a sandwich. I think one good thing about this is people are going to become hyper aware and maybe hopefully hyper vigilant about their own personal hygiene and everyone else's hygiene.
That's
and
good.
It shouldn't be a problem to ask someone to practice good hygiene if they're preparing food for you.
Right.
Or if they're providing any service for you, to be honest with you. I wonder, I don't let people come into my home and wear their shoes. I'm that weird guy because I don't want them to walk across my floors and with having stepped in some spit outside.
Sure.
And then drag it into my home.
No.
And then aerosol into the air and I breathe it. I'm not a germ freak or a germaphobe. But it just makes for less cleaning as well.
Absolutely. So. Yeah. Boudreaux, how do you feel about this? Have you seen anything? And what's the status of UK right now?
So first, apologies. I'm in the car right now. We're going to a big gathering, a bunch of people. We're having a lot of fun.
Okay. C-19 party.
I'm actually on my way, to UK to sneak in and sneak out, grab a few things. My wife's doing the same thing. I've been working from home since Friday.
Wow.
She's been working home since Tuesday. This is the first time we've used the car, we think, since Monday. We've been trying to really lock down, limit unnecessary trips. We've been taking a lot of walks. We did see some interesting stuff with the kids. We let the kids play a little bit. Last weekend, the kids were all playing. We were trying to inform them on, you know, what to do to distance yourself. And it got to the point where they just weren't listening. Like, we would tell them, and then 2 minutes later, they'd be back to, you know, punching on each other and hugging and just whatever. It's just, it was reckless. So we shut it down and actually it destroyed the kids. I mean, the whole neighborhood was.
Yeah, of course.
But it was slow and it took a while. Like some of the parents were okay with their kids playing. One of the parents let their kid play with a friend from a different part of the neighborhood, which was really scary to me.
Sure.
So, we messed up, and on the nicest day on Thursday was beautiful in the 70s. We're like, okay, kids, let's get out the chalk, and you guys can all do your own chalk in like a, you know, a very, very defined area. And then they were all digging in the chalk bin, and they turned into riding scooters, and they were trading scooters, and we just saw it, and we're like, look, guys, our healthcare neighbor parent kind of yelled at us on Facebook, which understandably, she was looking out the window, her kids were stuck inside, and she's like, look, guys, you should not be doing this. And so we shut it down. We felt actually pretty bad about it. But we've been before that and after that, we've been pretty good. I'm even thinking about doing a board game with some neighbors over Skype or
Zoom. Twitch. Do it over Twitch. Yeah. We're going to actually have a game night over Twitch at my job. We're in a similar situation. We just had work get canceled. So we were deemed a necessary place, but we have a lot of older people who work at our job who are not allowed, not necessary. Oh man, I have to be careful with how I say this. They aren't told that they can't be there, but if they aren't doing a critical function and they feel like they aren't safe, they are more than welcome to stay home and do their functions from work or at home. And so a lot of people are taking that option. I can't because my job, we're in filter technology. So like a lot of the demands for like these filter masks from hospitals, healthcare and I guess from the general public go through us a lot. And, we have to make sure that the stuff that we put out is still at quality. So, it's been a weird thing because we have about half as many people, but our demand for doing work has increased maybe about 8 times as much. It's not necessarily sustainable at this point. So we are in a weird situation where we're just wondering like, how long is this going to last? Cause the workload is a lot and we don't have the available man hours anymore to meet these recommendations. I know that's more of like a high tier problem, right? Cause there are people who like functionally can't work at all. Like I think Nathan mentioned, like if you're in the service industry, or if you're an Uber driver, or if you're doing anything where you have to be in front of people or people need to be near you, or if you have to make contact with a lot of things, you just functionally can't work anymore. And that sucks. And if you're in a restaurant, oh my gosh, I feel terrible for you. But, I think we're all struggling in our own unique ways about this. And then this cabin fever situation makes it even, it's the tedium that bothers me the most. And, I hope we can figure out ways to get around it.
So I have a question. In the States, are the restaurants all closed?
No, but in states, they are. In certain states, they are. So I think Illinois, California, New York. But in Tennessee, some are still open, but they have signs on them that say, hey, we can limit the people who can come into this store. So if we have more than, say, 10 people, we're going to tell you can't come in at a different time and stuff like that. So that's what
they're
it's like
here. They're closed here in Kentucky.
Oh, but, completely?
Yeah. Haven't they done that, Boudreaux? I mean, everywhere I go, everything's closed. Restaurants are closed, but they will do curb service. They'll bring your food out to you.
Yeah, that's right.
So you can get carry out.
Drive-thrus are working.
Yeah, if you have a drive-thru, that's good. There's a Mexican place that has a buffet. They are limiting people who go in, but they may not be open for long. But they don't have a drive-thru option. But they will do delivery, so you can like call them, and then they'll curbside just bring you the food that you asked for.
Wombat, there have been some really interesting – there's always a Kentucky-Tennessee battle, right?
Oh, is there?
There's been some really – sports wise, right?
Orange and blue.
So some people have been putting memes together and actually charts and graphs showing the differences between what the governors have done in our two states.
Oh, okay. What does it look like?
It looks like you guys closed schools Friday, I believe.
Okay.
And we closed schools. Chad, when did we close? A week before that?
Yeah.
Wow.
It really demonstrates some of these charts haven't accounted for population. And I know it has more population, but, it really is showing how it's growing in Tennessee compared to Kentucky. And it's our governor, I will say, and I'll get political on here, but our governor has been doing fantastic. I mean, he's making really tough calls, But I mean, closing of restaurants and closing of schools really early. UK has done a great job. I really hope to, Wombat, that we don't see a devastating difference between Kentucky and Tennessee, but I'm afraid that there are going to be some big number differences.
Are there any states that aren't picking up the slack at all? Because I know, for example, Nebraska is one, not very populated, but also not as stringent with its things that are being shut down. Because we have friends that work there at a different site from our job, and they're like, yeah, there's like, this town has only 50 people in it. Like, we're still working. The one restaurant that's available is still open, you know, et cetera. Like, how do I put this in better words? Are there states that shouldn't overreact, or states that shouldn't react at all?
Well, yeah, but woe betide that stranger that comes to town, huh?
Yeah, that one stranger who busts into the saloon and starts coughing up all over the place. Yeah.
Or he just walks in and nobody knows him. They keep 20 feet apart from him.
Yeah, I can see that.
Now, Boudreaux and I have been playing a fun post-apocalyptic game to try to deal with some of this. I think subconsciously that's why we're doing it.
Okay.
What's that?
It's really fun. Borderlands 3.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, big fun.
What's the value of Borderlands 3 just for our listeners? Because I'm hip it. I know what's up. I watched the PewDiePie, as we said at the
I'll let you answer that, Boudreaux.
The value, like, in terms of how much does it cost?
Value as in like playing that game in a situation like this. What's the
overall? Boudreaux, break us down a cost benefit.
Right, no kidding. Yeah.
I didn't pay anything for it. Boudreaux gifted it to me. Awesome. Good guy move there.
Cool.
Trying to pay it forward.
Yeah, it's good. Socially, it's fantastic. You get on the game chat and you can chat it up and you have common goals and
great.
And you can achieve them, and you help one another out. It's fun. It's the beautiful marriage of first person shooter and RPGs,
and hanging out with people too. Because you have to work in a team of four, so you're always like dropping in and out with friends or strangers who are also hip and cool. And you guys work cooperatively towards having fun with each other in a virtual space. It's actually really nice. It's a good way to get over the cabin fever. I think that might be a good topic for closing out this half as well as going to the second. Like, how are we getting over the cabin fever? What are we doing to reach out to people? Dreadpire, I want to know, like, what's some good things that we can do if we are locked up aboard the ship, matey? Insert pirate euphemisms here.
Well, you get your barbecue out. You cook up some scurvy dogs.
Oh, what's scurvy dogs?
They're just dogs.
Is it with like orange peel?
With no vitamin C.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Cool. Don't need the liver. That vitamin K will kill you.
Yeah. Got to make sure you get that vitamin D. Go outside, you know, every once in a while too.
That's right.
Doubter 5, what's your go-to for getting over cabin fever?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I play games. I talk on Facebook. I communicate. I do radio shows. I don't get out much though. I'm nearly 70. I'll be 70 in May. Okay. So I'm taking it really easy. I'm taking a month off from my work so that I don't have to interact with people that come into the shop, and they come in all the time.
Okay, smart move.
So. Hopefully, I won't have to keep taking it off, but I think I will probably.
Right.
Even after the month that I took off, it's probably not going to go away. So
I will
be stuck here for a while.
Let's see. I can make a recommendation. Boudreaux had mentioned Borderlands 3. There's a game called A Short Hike. If you get video games on PC, there's a store that you can get games from called the Epic Game Store. And what's great about this store is about once a week, they give out two or more free games that are actually really good. In fact, the games that are out now for free are Stanley Parable and Watch Dogs, which are both really, really good games that like were full price, really, really good value games. But
I definitely buy computer games. You could say it's called the
Epic
Game Store?
Yeah, the Epic Game Store. And A Short Hike. A Short Hike is good because it's just you're camping. You're outside. You're camping. You're building sandcastles. You're walking on trails. You go for treasure hunts. You can go on little races with people, and it's just a jolly experience. And it only takes about 2 hours for you to like really enjoy, you know, a touch of everything that's in the game. But I think it's a nice little slice of paradise for you in your home. It's really good.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fun. I put a short list together because of what I thought you were going to talk about today things that people could do. But it's really just about three different things that I thought of really quickly.
Dude, then let's do it. We'll do it right after the break. Then we'll give you some more time because we're actually getting close to the bottom of the half hour. Larry, why don't you close this out? And then we'll get into a longer list of things you can do to get over cabin fever.
Okay. Hold on. Here we go. I have to bring it back. I had it hidden. I have to bring it back up again.
Yep.
This is Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back very quickly. See you then.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Five, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, and we're in the second half of the show, 2020, by the way. And if you're going to talk about free thought groups, we can talk about them, too, right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year, and we have over 1,000 members. You can find us online at KnoxvilleAtheist.org. You don't have to be in Knoxville to join, so check it out and become part of the group. If you're in Knoxville, though, you can meet us every Tuesday night at and again one day. We used to meet at Barley's Tap Room Pizzeria every Tuesday, but that establishment has closed because of the CV virus, so we won't be doing that. Yep.
We can't have nice things.
No, we can't. Not with the CV.
Oh, that hits me hard.
Anyway, there's also the Rationalists of East Tennessee. If you'd like to look at their resources, you can go to rationalists.org. Earlier in the show, we talked about the Atheist TV show. They have one on YouTube called Freethinkers United Forum, I guess. And that's brought to you by the Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville. And there's a streaming version. They stream every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. So you can find their show at YouTube as well as their archives. That's about it. We're back on the show now, ready to take conversation back up again. We have the Wombat.
Hey!
The Wombat. And guests Boudreaux, Chad the Impaler, and Dread Pirate Hicks.
Arr,
so, where were we?
We'll pick up right where we left off. Chad the Impaler has an amazing, fantastic list that you absolutely must do during cabin fever. This is Chad the Impaler's top three cabin fever remedies. Go for it.
No pressure at all, right?
Cool.
Rediscover your family. That's one thing. That's something that Boudreaux kind of put out there on social media. They did a really cool dinner night at their house where they ordered in or ordered out. I'm not really sure how to say that. They had food brought to their home. I'm sure they sterilized everything, brought it in, and then the kids and the family pretended that they were out at a really fancy restaurant. So those kind of fun little role-playing scenarios you can have with your family, that's kind of fun, and maybe even some other kind of role-playing scenarios with your significant other. So rediscover your spouse and your family. Discover yourself if you wanted to sit down and kind of watch your mind and figure out who you are. That's always good, but I won't plug that too much today.
No, go for it.
But yeah, meditate again. And if you're not meditating, at least just try to be mindful of your thoughts. And
Sam Harris.
Yeah, here we go. There it is.
Just random. Is that just...
Yeah. And understand that if you can see the thought, it's not you. You know, be the witness.
Wait, hold on. If you can see the thought, it's not you. What does that mean?
Right. If you observe a thought, you are separate from the thought. Just that type of awareness that. Simply because these thoughts are continually streaming in front of you doesn't mean you have to buy in to being part of that thought.
You sound like Sam Harris.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm not falling asleep, so he does not sound like Sam Harris.
Well, it's, that kind of leads to magical thinking, doesn't it? And then whose thought is it?
Yeah, must exactly.
Here we go.
Yeah, let's deep dive into this.
What, if we wanted to, we could say, what isn't magical at that point? Because the person that you think, who are you, essentially, is my big question. Who's the you that you think you are? So we observe the universe from our own special vantage point.
Right.
And if you could kind of zoom out and get that 30,000 feet view, you kind of calm everything down and understand that this consistent stream of input is being witnessed by something, and you don't have to be the one on your heels swatting at everything constantly. You can be the thing that observes. You can remove all of your attachment to your ideas and simply watch these things. And eventually, if you do it long enough, the things, it becomes easier, and you can pull yourself out of situations that you find your mind being overwhelmed in.
Just to translate, it sounds like we can benefit from being from exercising passivity.
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that
Yeah, and that brings it to one of the things I'd put on the list. Examine your religious beliefs.
And
in isolation, as it were. You know, think about them. Think about where you got them, the methodology that you used to reach their conclusion. Sure. Or was it just something you picked up from your parents when you were very young?
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love that. You could also think.
Well, another one might be is to examine the efficacy of prayer.
I was going to say that.
Very good.
But good job. Good job.
Yeah exactly. And who gets the benefit of that prayer, right? I mean, really, if you're being intellectually honest with yourself, prayer, when you boil it down, it probably can help you. If you, even if you're praying for someone else, I guess it's cognitive dissonance. You know that you're not going to physically manifest anything by wishing for it. But if you benefit through a placebo effect, but you understand that that's how you're benefiting, well, that's another thing, you know, I think, altogether. And that's, some people compare prayer to meditation, and that's about as far as that's about the only link I'll make from meditation to prayer, is that the mindfulness of your situation, and sometimes, have you ever said anything and thought, I can't believe I just said that out loud? And that maybe that's okay. You know, that causes you to examine why you're thinking the way you are.
Yeah, there is something to expressing a thought that's in your head with your mouth. And making the right sounds and like putting together the right grammar and delivering it to someone, even if they aren't actually there or if there's no good reason to believe that they're there. There's something about the practice of, I have something I'm worried about. I just need to funnel this into something more utilitarian or practical and express it and see what comes out. Maybe Maybe when I hear it, I might feel differently about it. Does that make
sense? Yeah. I think that makes more sense than it definitely makes sense to me, but it almost seems that you're speaking it from a completely different module of your brain and the two don't connect internally. So you have to express it and then it has to come in through your ears to hit that other part of your brain so that the two sides of your brain can actually work the solution.
Let me tell you another level. So like when I'm doing street epistemology, people will have feelings that they express. And then if you just repeat back what they said to you, or like a one-to-one rephrase, they will react to it differently as if they hadn't just said that thing. So there's a layer between like me saying something versus me hearing someone say something to me and having to like compartmentalize that. Like you have so many different functionalities in your brain with how you absorb information that you really need to make sure that they're all working together towards your benefit. Because oftentimes it's very easy, especially when a panic situation is set in, to fall into situations where you aren't necessarily parsing information in the best way possible. Boudreaux,
Why we do Summit.
Yeah, absolutely. I miss it. Yeah. Well, we can't do it anymore, right? Well, at least for now. But virtually, hey, who knows, right? Boudreaux, what do you got for top three activities in cabin fever times?
Well, Chad took all mine because he's just watching my Facebook page. Absolute walks for us, for our family, going out on walks. We've been doing 3 to 4 walks a day. The dog's loving it. And everything I'm hearing, and I'm no expert, so I'm leaning on experts. Everything I'm hearing is, you know, if you're outside, keeping distance from people. I mean, we even go so far as to kind of get off of the sidewalk if we see someone come and say nice hellos and all that. But we're not looking to brush shoulders against people or anything like that. So we're keeping our distance, and the kids are on scooters, or Vivi's on her hoverboard that she adores. So that walks, I think, are really important. I said it last week, but I'll say it again. Ordering out, you're getting delivery, tipping the driver's big. I think that's really important right now. We've got some people in danger of really, really losing
their income.
Their income. So
yeah.
And then the fun date night we did was neat. We actually had the kids serve us. So they were the they brought the food down and cool. took our order. So
nothing says love like child labor.
That's right.
That's what Martha Stewart says anyway.
I would say, if I can throw out one that hasn't been mentioned before, make music if you can, because it falls into the same parallels of like meditation or prayer. You have an emotion or something that you feel like you need to say, and you are framing it constructively with tools that you have around you, or like with skills that you develop over time, and putting it into this, you know, particular code that when you express it in this certain way, you say things that no word or sentence could ever reach in terms of expression. And I really value the asset that music has had in my life. I made a love song to the coronavirus. I probably played it.
It was really good.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well done.
Because it's
oh, that was yours?
Yeah. It's like a corny it's a corny thing that you can do that, like, in my opinion, if I'm ever stressed out, singing has always been a really good way for me to just feel like, okay, it's not as bad. Or whistling or whatever you can do. But I don't have the advantage of having a lot of people who live with me. It's just me and my cat here, and I'm the only family member in the state. So this isolation is not fun, because really I picked up street epistemology in a way just to meet other people and have conversations with them. So being stuck inside sort of puts me back at square one. But I always have my music. Yeah. I always have a ukulele, or I have a piano, or whatever needs to be to keep me occupied and make me feel like I'm expressing myself in a healthy way. And I think what's most important is this, that you continue to let go of these thoughts and maybe feelings that are like nebulous inside of yourself, and allow them an outlet rather than letting them pile up inside of you. It's a great way to deal with anxiety and stress and stuff like that. So highly recommended.
Hey, Wombat.
Yo.
Has anyone in the SE world entertained the idea of having like a street epistemology long table, like where you like put 2 or 3 tables together and set up your cameras and a big sign and a big, you know, like, hey, you know, don't come too close, but let's talk. You know, we can still talk, right? I mean,
So technically, we do have a Discord page where people are free to log in and then keep their notifications active. And then when a person who does street epistemology or someone who wants to practice goes in, they just put in #1. And it sends out a call to all the people who want to be SE'd. And then from there, there's separate rooms where they can go into one-on-one conversations or one-on-group conversations. And of course, we have this radio show where, you know, we have friends call in. And if other people want to join this, feel free to hit us up on Facebook or contact Larry through his contact details at the end of the show. We have an open door policy, but I think it'd probably be best to not do the out and about SE, at least for now. It's not so much a risk about ourselves. It's about risking other people's lives. And that's what I realized was the major concern. Cause I feel good, but I don't want to use that as a tool to hurt other people. I'm not here to cause harm. So maybe if the best thing that we can do is just, you know, lock up and try to reduce the amount of times we interact with people, I'm totally fine with that. We can do that. And we'll support our local communities the best way we can. Cool.
Yeah, I have some time off from work now, and I thought the thought went through my mind to go back out there and make an Ask an Atheist table.
but that thought lasted about 3 seconds in this environment. I really miss doing that. I hate that it's going to be so long that I can before I can do it again.
Right.
If ever.
Yeah, we need outlets. And there's one online. There's a bunch online. In fact, I'll put some posts at the end of this channel. But like, don't forget, you have if you have like for Gary, you have your YouTube channel. We have our websites. We have messenger groups. We have Facebook. There's a lot of virtual ways that we can hang out with each other. And of course, I'm going to be doing game nights. We'll see. I'll send the link out if you guys ever want to join in. It'll be more the merrier. We're going to do Jackbox Party Games. Jackbox Party Games, by the way, if we're talking again about video games, is a really good game for parties because only one person needs to own the game and everyone else just needs a phone and Wi-Fi. And from there, we can all play with each other on separate screens, whether you're across the world or in the same room. It's really, really fun. And the games that they come up with are really fun too.
I've been thinking about the games in my closet in what games I could play with friends to where they don't have to physically be there or physically hold the cards or shuffle or pick or roll. And, Trial by Trolley is a fantastic game. I love the plug by the guys that do Cyanide and Happiness.
Oh, okay.
And they have Trial by Trolley is basically the trolley problem, that we talked about before, but times 100 because you basically draw cards and you have good cards that you don't want to run over and you have bad cards that you do want to run over and you have modifiers where you can modify what the other person has played. Wow. And you basically create these very elaborate trolley scenarios and the person at the seat, the middle seat has to decide, are they going to run over, a bus full of children, and a dinosaur that's going to be your best friend versus, Hitler and just crazy scenarios like that. It's
right.
Neat.
Or even games like chess. Let's not forget them.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you're a chess, you can go online if you're a chess aficionado, whatever it is, and go to chess.com. And join, and it'll let you play chess at a moment's notice with somebody else in the world.
True.
So boom, you're playing.
It matches you up with people of your same skill, too, so you don't even have to worry about, getting embarrassed. In fact, you learn more only when you lose. In fact, you only learn when you lose, so actually losing's not that bad of a deal.
Right.
Guys, could I ask a question?
Yeah,
sorry,
go for it.
You were
no.
I was rolling right into something, and I stepped on your toe.
Go for it.
Altruism right now. What about donating? I've got a Facebook friend in Uganda who runs a humanist school, and they have been completely shut down, just like we have schools. And this is a privately funded school. And I know just a couple $100 could help them keep this school open and operational maybe for a little while. I don't know how to donate to people that don't have anything set up for them. Especially in foreign countries, I don't know if they have the same kind of access. So anybody have any ideas?
Couldn't you just set up a GoFundMe page yourself for their benefit?
I suppose so.
I've
never done that before.
Or perhaps.
And I don't know how to make sure that it stays legit or that it certainly appears legit so that people do donate.
You might be lucky enough to find GoFundMe pages that are already set up by people who've had this, thought and recourse. And then you can, and then that gives you the advantage of looking up to see if they're legit. And then it puts the burden of proof on them instead of on you. And then if they pass your muster, then I think that'd probably be a good angle. Man, that is a good cause. Like, that's a good cause.
She runs, it appears that almost all of the students of hers are girls, and I think they are.
Ah, that's a good cause.
It's an all-girls humanist school in Uganda, and I'm in contact with her.
Yeah.
We message on Facebook Messenger.
Just ask her directly then, right?
Yeah.
And then if you have the contacts, I'll post them. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Okay.
I'm just wondering why would you... What is the benefit of having a segregated school like that? Like just all girls?
Africa's hardcore.
In Uganda, it's hardcore. Exactly. Especially in Uganda.
Yeah.
The women in Uganda have suffered tremendously from the men in Uganda. And, okay. And they try yeah. to.
And many of them don't even want the women to have education at all.
Right.
Right.
It's
right.
It's a place where it's needed, unfortunately. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. And for them to, for there to be a humanist school in a place like that, I yeah. think is brave, yeah. very brave. So I want to support them as best I can. But I also, you know, I don't know these people very well. Everything seems very legitimate and, they seem like good folks, but, I don't know. This is new to me to donate in this manner. You know, mm-hmm. donating time is one thing, you know, signing up for a service that sends you notices about how you can donate your time locally. That's one thing. But then sending, Republic credits to some other foreign land, I've just not done it before. So I'm not sure of the pitfalls.
I'm also taking on a longer perspective. This is a big perspective. I'd be more interested in a sustainable model to support a school like that than a one-time donation, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if there was, mm-hmm. if there was a means of advocacy that could help you set up something that would be like a long-term plan for them to be able to sustain themselves rather than just a, hey, feel good for the rest of your life by giving me $2.
Right. Now bugger off. My
exactly.
karma's
exactly. It's like, yeah, I solved my problem. Right. What? I give you $100 4 years ago. You're telling me your school shut down? Like, things like that I always want to be wary of. And likewise, you don't have to go as far as Uganda to find people who need help, even here.
Agreed. Right?
And,
yeah.
And that's also another hard thing to say, but it's also true. And so
if you're
looking to help people, you can look across the street and find a good reason to help people. And we won't get anywhere if we all only help one particular category of people. Like, we need to help yeah. one another, high and low, as best as we can.
Agreed.
Oh, man, that felt,
Wombat,
dirty.
You sound
go for it.
Wombat, you sounded suspiciously like Sam Harris there. Just
oh,
a bit
did
ago.
I? Did I make you fall asleep? Is that why you said that?
the setting up the long term
hey,
donation.
Let's speak about
my heart.
We got some 10 minutes. Let's talk about some boring books that we could read.
Well, I've just gotten into David Hume, okay. Dialogues Over Natural Religion.
Wow.
So yeah.
Wow.
I've been wanting to read David Hume for a long time. And, you know, having waded through, you know, the Sam Harris and Richard Dawkins and Daniel Dennett and all that kind of stuff, I thought I'd reach back to the where it all started kind of thing, you know.
Very yeah. cool. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on the Madness of the Crowds, Douglas Murray.
Nice. I'm reading.
What's that about?
Yeah.
Basically, kind of this whole world of intersectionalism and identity politics and how groups of people mind think and stuff like that. Mm. I'm barely into the book, but he's a really interesting guy.
Cool.
I'm reading a book called Horrible Histories. And what's really fun about it is it gives a very honest perspective of things that had happened in history that were omitted from textbooks just because maybe it was too gross or teachers thought it would be too distracting for teenagers to read. And like stuff where lead was a popular ingredient in like toothpaste and makeup. And like the Queen of England, Victoria, was like, really, really mean and bad to people. And like the state of child, labor in Victorian era was like horrendous. And that if you lost a finger, you were going to die because that was going to get infected. Plus, you're going to lose your job and just like terrible, terrible things that happen to people. Makes me more grateful in the time that we live in now. Despite the fact that we're in the situation we're in right now, it does make me feel like today is always probably the best day to be alive and experience this moment. Because, man,
yeah,
if I go back
sure.
200 years, oh, what? that's terrible. That's so
yeah.
bad.
Yep.
Yeah, that's me.
Didn't Steven Pinker write a book pretty recently on
oh,
that
yeah.
topic, too? Yeah.
Yes, I read that one. Where is it? I'll just look on my shelf.
Better Angels of Our Nature kind of tells us that we're living in fantastic times right now.
Yeah, I think so.
That's Steven Pinker.
And yeah. Enlightenment Now.
Enlightenment Now. He's got the book. He found it. Nice.
Yeah, I read that. That was an awesome book. I liked his previous one, which was
I bet that was better Angels of Our Nature than
Angel.
That.
Yeah, that was a great book as well.
Yeah. Those are both on similar topics. I think if you like the one you're reading now, you might like those.
Oh,
yeah,
it's an optimistic look at the world, really.
Yeah, could you send me the link to that? I'd love to read that.
Yeah, sure.
In both the sense of, man, the past was horrible, I also feel like, man, today is pretty good. Like, we have, like, if there was the Black Plague was a disease that killed a lot of people back then, they did not know how to resolve it. They didn't know where the disease came from. And they would have doctors just walking around with lavender in bags. You might see them with those characteristic crow-like masks made out of leather. And they would just wave lavender in front of your face because they thought, if you smell good, that must resolve the plague that you have. And so when the doctors died, they would just replace them with another doctor in the same mask and people wouldn't know the difference. Like and they would just continue to make money. Like the whole situation in a place like that was so hopeless. And that probably led to a lot of people dying. Whereas now we know, wash your hands. We have hand sanitizer. It's affordable. Mm-hmm. We have access to medicine, vaccines, doctors are able to help us. And we're just now know an easy means of communicating to everybody. Like, hey, stay at home. Try not to get people sick. We can wait this out. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
I just linked it in the chat window.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I have many favorite books, ones that are, you know, stories and novels and stuff, but one that changed my life more than anything else was Carl Sagan's Demon Haunted World.
Yes, I read that recently too.
It made me come out of the atheist closet. It made me become an activist. It really highlights the problems the world gets into when it starts using magical thinking. Mm-hmm. And I'm not just talking religious. I'm talking things like witches and souls and magic and sin, you know, things like that, or even just superstitions or horoscopes, that type of thing. I highly recommend it to anybody, whether you're an atheist or not. I think it will really open your eyes.
Yeah.
And it's good also in that it actually gives guidance to how to improve things. You know, it makes some suggestions about, you know, forming groups, writing your congress people, you know, forwarding essentially the humanist movement.
Right. It doesn't just point or highlight the problems. It offers solutions, which is great.
Exactly.
It also highlights a fundamental thing that human beings do, where it's very easy to label people or categorize people in boxes that aren't necessarily applicable to the individuals that are in the group. And when we marginalize people like that, we start to betray our better senses of empathy. Because when we say this guy's not one of us, he's one of them, we start to treat him as subhuman or take their ideas less seriously or open ourselves up to more biases that we might be carrying. And I think a book like that is a really good way of showing, like, hey, even regardless of who you are, this is a thing that's very susceptible to just human nature. And you should be aware of it. And I love I love knowing stuff like that. That's great. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Getting close to the top of the hour.
We are. I'm wondering what I could bring up that we can handle in about 7 minutes or so.
Well, how about resources, people offering resources from their end?
Hey, how about that? That's good. Why don't you start?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, started this show from Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I mean, from the Digital Free Thought blog. So anybody wants to know what we're talking about as far as atheism or free thought or even the methods which we arrived at that, they can go to Digital Free Thought and click on the blog button. There's a lot of free thought resources there.
Right.
Also, I have a book out. It's it's called Atheism. What's It All About? I'll remember in a minute.
Yeah.
And it's available on Amazon and all that. Paperback's about $10-$12.
Nice.
But it's got most of the articles from the website. I'm going to shoot myself in the foot right here saying, just go to the website, read the article. There's more articles on the website than they're in the book. But if you want to carry it with you in book form, you can always do it that way.
Cool. Let's see. Gary, Dread Pirate, where can we find you? Where can you get your stuff? And what would you recommend that we can check out in a time like this, now that we all have free time?
Yeah, you can come to my YouTube channel, which is Mind Pirate, P-Y-R-A-T-E, and I have a number of SE videos there with people I know. Yeah. So unlike, you know, sort of the traditional way of doing it, I actually know a lot of people and try and sit them down and have these candid conversations. So check that out.
And what I like about that is a lot of people think, and even I thought this, that SE works best or could only work on people that were like strangers that you can leverage a sort of ignorance on because mm-hmm. you don't necessarily know everything about them. And they don't know everything about you. So you come into a conversation with a blank slate. There's an advantage there. When you talk mm-hmm. with a friend, there's a lot of weight. Like, hey, you said this last week. It's like, I know I said that last week, but I'm trying this new way of communicating with you now. Can we mm-hmm. reset the clock? But you have a good way of just talking to people that still gets to the underlying layers of street epistemology.
And it works on yourself too.
Yeah, for sure.
Ignore that's that true. Because you can use SE on yourself to true. Reach a more enlightened state.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And
it also, the further advantage is that you get to know people in your community yeah. on a deeper and more intimate level than you would just casually talking about the Canucks winning the game.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
SE's been like my funnest party game, to be honest with you. And it doesn't even have to be about religion. It could just be about something that interests someone.
Mm-hmm.
Boudreaux, what do you got? What can people do to learn more about you, learn more about the stuff that you like to talk about, excluding Sam Harris?
Chad and I always do this. We put ourselves at the end of the show, and we don't actually have a presence on the internet for Summit. But any folks that are interested, you know, send me a message on the Facebook here.
Nice.
And we're gonna try to make our next Summit completely virtual. And I'd be curious from the group. Share links or ideas for software for video conferencing. You mentioned Twitch. We're talking about maybe using Zoom. You got Facebook Messenger.
Oh, nice.
Things like that. But also hardware. I've realized that even though I'm a musician, I was very inadequately prepared for my daughter having flute lessons virtually on Monday, Tuesday, whenever it was. But I was scraping to find how I could have her video herself and project decent audio to her flute instructor while also listening to her flute instructor with headphones. And it was just a nightmare of hardware issues. But I'd be curious what people use for podcasting and things like that, hardware-wise.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, hey, get ready for that storm.
Yeah, we can talk details in the Messenger group because I'd be happy to talk about that. It's actually kind of interesting, the rabbit hole I fall into. Chad. How about you? Is there anything that we should check out?
No. Everybody's okay. I'll echo some of what Boudreaux said, and we've even, as of late, been talking more and more about starting something. I was going to start a podcast maybe even as many as 18 months ago, bought a bunch of equipment, and just continued to threaten to do it, and that's all I ever did. But it seems like my first venture into any kind of media like that's probably going to be a collaboration with Boudreaux along the lines of Summit. And if I do anything on my own, it would probably be more of the stuff that I talk about when you guys ask me about stuff here. And when we're at Summit, it's different. You guys are asking me questions and I'm answering from a perspective of like a contemplative type experience, and Summit's not so much that. And I'd like to have two channels of thought. One with Boudreaux, because we've been so successful at doing this and so many people find benefit. And then I want to dip my toe in something else personally, something that Boudreaux might not have the patience for. A little more woo-woo than Boudreaux. More
I would say the Summit, just so everyone knows, Summit is a gathering at Boudreaux's house. And it's sort of like a round table all for one, as far as like ideas are being thrown out and dealt with live. And it could be very rapid exchanges between people, but it's always a singular topic among all the people who are there. And it's a very different experience than, say, like a one-on-one long-form conversation with someone. You really are having a conversation with everyone in the room at the same time. And so, like, knowing how to chime in, how to express yourself concisely, and manage like the momentum of a crowd is really interesting. And there are a lot of dynamics at play. Some people don't even talk at all, but like are still engaged in the conversation, even through silence. It's a very intense experience.
Fun.
We're going to at the top of the hour. We're really going to have to wrap up now.
Okay, that's
any
fair.
Final words or
yeah?
We just
I'm going to be I'm going to be posting this on my Patreon. You guys are free to check me out at letschat.com or I'm not letschat.com, but Let's Chat on YouTube. It's now the first thing that pops up. And I would say this as my outgoing, VR ping pong table tennis is very, very good. And you should check it out. There's a good community of people who are playing at the same time, especially now. And, it's always a fun hangout place to hang out. That's it for me. See you guys next week.
Okay. If you have any questions for the show, you can always send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org. If you'd like to listen to prior shows, you can find them on many public broadcasts out there, a podcast that is iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, et cetera, et cetera. Just look for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And in fact, according to all of the world's religions, everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life. That's it for us this week. Join us again at Wednesday at 7 o'clock on WOZO Radio. Time for another Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Say bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Take care.
Cool.
Game over.
You've been listening to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Thank you for having me.
WOZOLP 103.9 FM, Knoxville.